Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You were born with it. It's always been there. It's been the basis of many, many friendships and connection with people who just
know and think like you do.
It's made life fun.
Welcome home
to the winning edge. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Welcome into the early line, live right here on Sports Grid on a Monday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how are you?
Doing very good. It is Monday. It is new week, new money. It's been a great run. And by the way, Kev, last week on our prop bets with the FanDuel Sportsbook, what a sensational week. And I'm expecting much, much more, starting with the Monday Night Football tonight. But we got an action-packed show over the next 2 hours. I can't wait to get through it.
It is a great point by you. We'll have you set up when it comes to Monday Night Football in that respect. But we started off 7-7 top headlines with the World Series as the Houston Astros keep this thing going, winning Game 5 in Atlanta by a final score of 9-5. They were losing this baseball game 4-0 after an Adam Duvall first inning grand slam. The Astros, though, Donnie, forced this one back to Houston.
You know, as I like to say, Kevin, I like to get rested and ready for the show. So as I wind down on Sunday night, I usually don't make it too far past the 9:30 hour. Yes, I'm certainly an old man. But looking at it yesterday, watching the game early, I saw a grand slam leave the park. So there's no, I don't need to watch this anymore. This is a coronation of the Braves at home. What a celebration in the city of Atlanta. Not only did they lose the game, they were up 4. They lost by 4. Devastation, destruction, mayhem in Atlanta. Now the series goes back to Houston. My goodness, Atlanta, don't pull a 28-3 here once again for your fans.
And overall, the problem is Charlie Morton's not here anymore. And I don't know what Max Fried is bringing to the table. We'll talk more World Series in hour number two. But there were a lot of big headlines in the NFL, but perhaps none bigger, Donnie, than the New Orleans Saints beating Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 36-27 with Trevor Siemian as the lead man. Unfortunately, lost Jameis Winston early in this game, and they might have lost him for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, look, so that's a shame, too, because you're taking a look at a football team that wanted to have that wait-and-see approach this year on Jameis. Can he be your franchise guy? You're going to sign up to the big money. It looks like it is going to be a devastating knee injury, which leaves the New Orleans Saints with Trevor Siemian at this point. But, hey, hopefully you get back Taysom Hill, and he can be a decent starting quarterback. But that's a great performance. And I can't tell you how many times. I didn't do this yesterday, but typically when you see a devastating injury, Kevin, in a football game, what do? Run to the other side, thinking Simeon's not going to be able to do much here. Great gutty performance by the kid. They end up winning that game and scoring 36 points. Impressive stuff out of the Saints yesterday.
And it's such a good point by you. They were trailing in the game with under 2 minutes to go in the football game. They had to go lead a drive there against that Bucs team. Tampa's road struggles will be something we dive into. How about Sunday Night Football? How about the Cowboys are better off without Dak Prescott? No, they're not. But they did win without Dak Prescott against the Minnesota Vikings. A 20-16 final. Cooper Rush, 325 passing, 2 touchdowns. The game winner to Amari Cooper.
Yeah, surprising result here. Now, even though we do know the Minnesota Vikings were only 3-3 coming into that football game, but I think everybody said, hey, if Dak's not going to play, Cooper Rush, we saw what Ben DiNucci did last year when he came in for a spot start. So when you flip the tables here, Cooper Rush was really good. 325 yards and 2 touchdowns, goes on the road in Sunday Night Football primetime and picks up a victory. That shows the Dallas Cowboys got a really good football team this year.
They really do. Kellen Moore's doing a great job with that team. Credit for Mike McCarthy. Yeah, no, that's not coming here on this show. Radio audience enters the fold. Appreciate all those listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you here on this Monday morning, going over some of the top headlines and one of the biggest games of the week in the AFC South. The Colts hosted the Titans, a 14-0 lead, evaporated. Wentz interceptions, costly, and they lose to the Tennessee Titans 34-31, who win their fourth game outright as a dog this season, Donnie.
Impressive stuff by the Titans here. Makes it even more impressive that this game was 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. My teaser leg in the pick six contest. What an idiot I am. I took the Titans getting 8.5. I should have known better than this, let alone they came all the way back and won this football game. And by the way, I like Carson Wentz. He made a lot of plays in that game, but he made two boneheaded interceptions. One was for a pick six touchdown with under 2 minutes to go in the game, led them on the drive to tie it up, had the ball to win the game in overtime, and threw another interception. Sometimes what Carson Wentz does here, that is a devastating blow to the Colts.
Tennessee may be making a case for the best team in that conference overall. One team that also tried to make that case was the Cincinnati Bengals until they ran into those frisky, frisky New York Jets. For the people, Donnie, they were on alert. You were on alert, my friend. The New York Jets, liver than I could have imagined, 34-31. They went outright as a double-digit dog.
Yeah, I was taking some prop bets over the weekend. The two teams I wanted to avoid were the Houston Texans and the New York Jets. Well, Mike White, 405 yards, 3 touchdowns in a comeback victory. That was sensational stuff. And I guess you're the Jets front office going, why did we draft a quarterback number 2 overall when we should have just went with Mike White all the way through, Kevin?
Tough, tough scene there. Even in a win, it comes with a grain of salt. For the Jets, the College Football Playoff Committee's opening rankings are around the corner, and Sparty made their case with a 37-33 win over Michigan, staying unbeaten, Donnie. 8-0, maybe crack the top 4.
Yeah, and look for me as taking the team total under. They finally were getting their comeuppance early in that game, Kevin. Ha ha, Michigan State's overrated. Nope, no, they're not.
Yeah. Just the greatest team of all time. Also, Harden fully back, a triple-double last night in a huge Brooklyn Nets victory. We talk more NFL Week 8 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line, we lead with the Saints Bucks game that took place here week 8 in the NFL. And what an interesting game this was. The New Orleans Saints went outright as a 4-point underdog with the game going over the number. 36-27 is the final score here as they now catch Tampa Bay in the loss column, Donnie. And I want to give the Saints all the credit in the world, but we know that this is Tom Brady. We know that each and every morning they are the story, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I got to say, with this result here, I don't think this team deserves to be favorites in the NFC anymore. I don't. They are 0-4 against the number on the road this season. Multiple losses on the road to legitimate contenders when you look at that game against the Rams where they were outclassed and seemingly here against Trevor Siemian and the Saints. And I look at their resume compared to the rest of these teams, the Rams, the Cardinals, the Packers, maybe even the Dallas Cowboys, and it doesn't stand out the same way. You can tell me if I'm overreacting, but I don't think the Bucs warrant their current status as the favorites in the NFC.
No, not anymore here. Maybe you're looking towards the Rams at this point, but your points are very good for the case you're trying to make against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You got to be able to handle your business. It's not as if, Kevin, you're going on the road and we're getting 3.5 points from New Orleans, tough pace to play, Drew Brees, Sean Payton. You got to beat the New Orleans Saints. You came in there favored. You're a better overall football team. And so sometimes these statistics, Kevin, don't give the equal weight to how the game actually played out. Like Tom Brady threw for 375 yards and 4 touchdown passes in that football game. Chris Godwin had 8 catches for 140 yards. Say, okay, well, what did the Saints do in this one? Well, between Trevor Siemian and Jameis Winston combined, just over about 200 yards through the air. And then Alvin Kamara, he probably had a really big day. No, only 61 yards on the ground, and your leading wide receiver had 38 yards. That is a team win by the New Orleans Saints here. As I said, sometimes I had to take a look at that final score. They scored 36 points with those type of statistics here. That's great. That's opportunistic defenses. That's making plays when you're supposed to make plays and beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We talked about it on the show Friday when we're saying, what did you anticipate out of this game? Well, probably the Buccaneers win, and they're going to run away with the AFC South. We said, what happens if the New Orleans Saints win this football game? They're right back in it. 5-2 overall. Tampa Bay 6-2 overall. Here we go. Do we have a race now, Kevin, in the AFC South, the NFC South?
And that's going to be a big question with the Saints quarterback situation moving forward. I will add this. Last year, the Bucs were 1-5 against playoff teams in the regular season and then proceeded to go win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying I would completely discount the Bucs. They absolutely have Super Bowl equity. They can go out there and win a Super Bowl. Tom Brady's their quarterback. They have a core that's been there, done that. But they're not putting forward the same, I think, resume of a team like the Rams or the Cardinals. And the reason I talk resume is because we're talking about where the prices belong. I get it. It's not the college football playoff year. They win enough games, they're going to be in. It's about what this team's presenting thus far. Their best win is a 2-point victory week one against the Cowboys at home, and they probably should have lost the game if we're being honest right now. It's just a Bucs team that I think is leaving a lot to be desired as they head into their bye week here. But on the Saints side of things, Donnie, we said going into this game, if they won, they deserve to be in the conversation of the big six, right? Bucks, Rams, Packers, Cardinals, Cowboys, Saints, 5-2. The problem is how much can you buy into this team now with Trevor Siemian or Notre Dame's own Ian Book maybe getting the control?
Yeah, you can't buy in much now at this point. So I guess if you're looking for the low point to buy on the Saints where they sit at 5-2 and you think Siemian can be a good quarterback, which I don't think he can be. Look, he could be serviceable. Sean Payton makes a lot of people serviceable at the quarterback position, but you're not going to be able to win big games if you're trying to manage out here. Like Trevor Siemian threw 29 passes, Kevin, and only had 159 yards to show for that. You can only do so much with that. And then Taysom Hill comes back. He's great in, maybe a spot start situation, packages during the game situation. I don't know if he's going to be the guy that's, hey, I'm going to take 9 starts here for the rest of the season and head off into the playoffs, and we're going to get red hot on offense. This is a tough, bitter pill for Sean Payton to swallow, because maybe you had Jameis Winston and you're going to unleash him in the second half of the season. But from the post-game press conference, Sean Payton pretty dejected, is saying they think it's a serious injury for Jameis Winston, so we probably won't see him again here in 2021.
If you look at the current odds to win the NFC, the Cardinals are the fifth team at 5-1. The Niners are the seventh team at 31-1. The Saints in a weird island on their own at 17-1. I think their number would be cut down if not for this Jameis injury. The interesting thing, though, Donnie, is we're right around the corner from this trade deadline here. Your Teddy Bridgewaters of the world, your Tyrod Taylors of the world are interesting. I am sure we're going to hear Cam Newton's name. But can I also throw out there a quarterback who basically said, hey, look, if there's any contenders that need a quarterback for the backstretch, you can call my phone. And does Phillip Rivers make his way down to New Orleans here? And maybe more importantly, Donnie, do any of those four names maybe interest you pairing that with the really good defense here and a Saints team that could make a real run?
Yeah, I don't know how much it helps, because it's not as if, like, you're probably too young to remember a guy named Jeff George who always made these comebacks here, but he had an absolute cannon for an arm. The fact that Phillip Rivers could barely throw the ball over 15 yards last year Now he's going to come down and run the Saints offense in the middle of the season, you know, in a brand new setting. I don't think that's the case here. I guess you just have to ride it out the rest of the year and say, hey, we brought Trevor Siemian on our football team for a reason. Obviously, we have Taysom Hill, who was battling for the starting job in the preseason along with Jameis Winston. And we'll let the dice, you know, roll down the table and see if we can come up with a 7 or an 11 at this point. I don't think it's going to be possible no matter what the Saints do. Now, maybe we have that turn card here. It says, hey, you know, it's Saints now in the market for guess who? Deshaun Watson, and he comes down to play in the dome. I don't think that's the case here, but I just think the Saints seem to be that team in the middle of the ocean, Kevin, without any paddles.
The one thing I will say is Sean Payton might be your favorite for coach of the year when that market reopens. He certainly should be priced in front of that very fraudulent candidate from LA. We'll talk about that in a little bit, though. I want to talk some Sunday night football, Donnie, because the Minnesota Vikings lose to Cooper Rush and the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys stay a perfect 7-0 against the number. This game goes well under the total. Dallas had an excuse built in. They didn't have their franchise quarterback in Dak Prescott. The Vikings had their franchise quarterback, and he gave them exactly what you expect in a big game in prime time. 184 yards, one touchdown pass, and an underwhelming Kirk Cousins performance.
Yeah, how about this game the way it started off last night, too? You get the Cousins to Thielen touchdown. This is a blowout. Here we go. Minnesota's going to stamp their claim here and say, you know, we're back. We're going to make the playoffs now after a tough start, and we're going to show you by beating the Dallas Cowboys here. Not the case here. And you're right. Kirk Cousins, who gets paid a lot of money to throw 35 passes for only 184 yards and only that singular touchdown in the first quarter. You take a look at Cooper Rush. You thought, hey, game manager, hand it off. You know, let's not beat ourselves with our quarterback play. Well, how about this? 24-40 for 325 and two touchdowns, a passer rating of 92.2. We saw Dak warming up in the game yesterday. But all along, if you followed us, if you're not going to practice the entire week, it doesn't matter what you're doing on Sunday. So a lot of people say, like, man, he's working out really hard. He's getting up a good sweat out here. He looks healthy. He's not walking around gingerly. We knew the case was going to be Cooper Rush was going to start this football game. And congratulations if you waited to the last minute and got the absolute best price, which is around plus 4 to 4.5 here on the Minnesota Vikings at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Dallas Cowboys were good last night. And you know what? This is a problem because if you're looking to fade the Dallas Cowboys, what was the theory all along? Man, Dak Prescott, if he goes down, you know, he's their whole team right now. He's playing at an MVP level. It's the only reason why they're winning. Not the case. You just went with a backup quarterback on the road in a tough environment, which again says, hey, Dak, if you need another week off, maybe Cooper Rush can handle that.
The thing is, and overall, it's a massive buoy for them. They don't have to rush him back. The division is locked up. It was locked up whether they won this game or not. It's a great point that they can slow play it with Dak. But let me just say, this, to me, still isn't going to damage a Dak Prescott MVP case that they won this game. We're at the two-minute warning. They only had 13 points on the board. Dak would have hung a 30 spot on this Minnesota team, and they would have ran them off of the field. This, to me, and again, give Dallas credit, this is about a Vikings team that enters every single season with zero Super Bowl equity, a head coach who I think has overstayed his welcome in Mike Zimmer, and a quarterback who, unless you pair him with an elite, elite, elite offensive mind, is basically never going to get the job done, no matter how good the stats are, the completion percentage, or the yards per game. You know what Cousins is, and he's not good enough. A lot more Week 8 to break down after this quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ton of key matchups. Let's break them down. We'll start it in the AFC South, where the Indianapolis Colts hosted the Tennessee Titans as favorites of about a field goal by the time it closed. And this game looked like it was going to be all Indy, as the opening three drives were Colts touchdown, Titans interception, Colts touchdown. And well, then that's not how it continued to go. Carson Wentz, the good was out for a lot of the game. But when it really mattered, the bad was out. and an overtime that gave the Titans the lead in the final moments of the regulation period. Ultimately, they were able to get it back and force in overtime. And then another interception in overtime very well cost this team a game. The Tennessee Titans have been underdogs four different times this season. They have won all four of those games. An outlandish stat for Tennessee overall here, Donnie. The takeaway, they're strong for both teams. What jumped out of the page here for you?
Colts gave the game away. That really jumped out for me. Now, you needed the Tennessee Titans to come back and make plays and win it, as you always do in football. Mm-hmm. That's a great win for the Titans on the road, 34-31, because you heard me talk about last week. I agreed with the line movement. Once you saw the Tennessee Titans favored by -1 to -2, it completely swung back to Indianapolis. They were getting healthy for the football game, and everything that was on the table and in front of the Colts here had to start with a victory against the Tennessee Titans. You can't script a better start. The house was rocking in Indianapolis. You had a 14-0 lead at the end of the first quarter. Could have been very easily for the Tennessee Titans to buckle in that football game. Even saw Derrick Henry walking around with his shoe off there early in the game. Like, oh, is he even going to come back in this game? Is it worth it to bring him back? Because you're probably not going to win this game. Well, glad you brought him back. He did have 28 carries for 68 yards, but sometimes that opens up the passing game a little bit. But square right on Carson Wentz, 51 passes in that game, Kevin, 231 yards. You got to be better, even though a large chunk of those plays did come from pass interferences. So maybe the 231 is a little bit light because they picked up 50 to 60 yards on a couple of those pass interference penalties. But you had the game once again slipping away from you for the Colts. You tie it up. You go to overtime with the football. That's where you seize momentum and win the football game, or at least drive down for a field goal and put the onus back on the Titans. Interception right off the bat. Tennessee Titans kick a field goal, and that is that. 6-2 Tennessee Titans, 3-5 Indianapolis Colts. It's going to be real hard for the Colts to try to make a playoff run. Yesterday seemed like that was their last stand, and they had a 14-0 lead and could not close the door.
The single biggest favorite to win their respective division is the Tennessee Titans, because they basically have a four-game lead now. 6-2 to 3-5, plus a sweep already of the Indianapolis Colts. They're -5,000. I would never lay such a number, but I don't know how the Indianapolis Colts come back. The tough thing, Donnie, is they are as good of a 3-5 team as you will see. And I said that when they were 1-4 and 2-4, but it doesn't hold weight because you've probably squandered too many opportunities. They have three losses this year where they've had fourth-quarter leads. Those losses against the Rams, the Ravens, and the Titans. Typically, there'd be nothing to be ashamed of over those losses, but you can't keep losing in that fashion. They've, as you've said, they have left far too many opportunities out there early season. And when you look back on a team that might miss out on the playoffs by one or two games, those will haunt them overall. But to be fair, on the other side of the field, give the Tennessee Titans a world of credit. Just continually finding ways to answer the bell. And I got to say, probably the biggest transition in this game was Tannehill's second interception that ended up being fumbled. The next play was a 57-yard touchdown to A.J. Brown that tied the game. And the Tennessee Titans were able to be within the fight right all the way until the last and won it outright, Donnie.
Yeah, you need those bounces. That happens in every game. Sometimes it comes down to just a handful of plays to determine the outcome. So 34-31, no surprise here. I actually, it's funny in this game too, because Kevin, I always like to talk about like what I thought was going to happen. I thought the Colts would win. They didn't. I seemingly was the only one on the island here at 51.5, 51 as an under. I was like, man, this is going to be terrible. And then late in the game, it looked like before they were going to go to overtime, they had that scoring barrage in the last 2 minutes. Somebody's going to drive down and kick a field goal, which would have made it 51 points. Ends up going to OT, a couple touchdowns, 34-31. So this game went way over the total, which I didn't anticipate here. And also, the Indianapolis Colts got flatlined here. I was watching the game first quarter, 14-0. Like, man, here come the Colts. This is what you waited for the Colts. And it disappeared in the blink of an eye. It was 14-14 and a crazy, crazy second half. But you're right, Kevin. You can't be a quarterback and throw a ball with like your left arm on your own goal line for a pick six that the guy caught at like the 2 yard line and walked in. Terrible display from Wentz, even though he did come back and send it to overtime.
Again, they'd have been one game back in the division, and they essentially are now four games back. Like, they lost three games yesterday. How damaging of a loss that was. Let me make 2 points on the Tennessee Titans, though, overall as it pertains to awards. Derrick Henry is not going to an MVP. He will never win MVP. He plays the wrong position. But the reality is this game also showed why. 2.4 yards per carry, no touchdown, 28 carries, 68 yards. You cannot have your MVP have by far and away his worst game of the season and score 34 on the road against a good team. You know what happened when Rodgers played his worst game of the season? They lost to the Saints 38-3. Like, that is what happens when your MVP plays their worst game of the season. You know what happened when Mahomes played his worst game of the season? They scored 3 points against the Tennessee Titans. That's the difference between quarterbacks and running back. It's why it's a quarterback award. It's not an unfair thing. It's a quarterback award because they're the most valuable people in the sport. With that being said, Mike Vrabel's coach of the year candidacy has to be jumping up the board a little bit here, Donnie. At the end of the day, this is a 6-2 football team that I think does have a legitimate shout at putting a dent here in this race for the one seed in the AFC. Again, the Chiefs aren't running away with anything. We'll talk about the Cincinnati letdown. The Titans have an outright win over Buffalo as well. This Titans team is going to be right in the thick of things.
No, they certainly are. And they have, I always like to say, Kevin, when you're looking at the perfect offensive team, and I continue to say this, you know, a good athletic mobile quarterback with a big arm, good offensive line, two big-time wide receivers, if they can just stay on the football field, and A.J. Brown and Julio Jones and the best overall running back in the NFL. Now, hey, if you can get some pass rushing here on your defense and make some plays, you can do it. But anytime you have an offense that is equally balanced as the Tennessee Titans are, come playoff time, come games you have to win. If the running game, Kevin, isn't working like you saw yesterday, have Ryan Tannehill make enough throws to win that football game. Worked out yesterday, but the Titans, I love their offense. They can do damage. As long as that defense makes some stops here and stays healthy, hopefully, they'll be okay.
Speaking of coach of the years, Brandon Staley, still co-favorites with a couple of guys for coach of the year. Stop the nonsense. Brandon Staley is in a top five candidate for this award. This makes absolutely no sense as they lose at home off a bye to a rookie quarterback and fall to 4-3. What is Brandon Staley's coach of the year candidacy? What's the argument? That he beat the Kansas City Chiefs in week 3 because he went for it on fourth down a bunch of times? It's ridiculous. If anything, that's a Justin Herbert MVP case. How is this guy coach of the year? It makes absolutely no sense to me. In fact, the guy on the other sideline, who's currently 40-1 to win that award, compared to Staley 6-1, has a much better argument in Bill Belichick, Donnie, because he's got his rookie quarterback humming a 3-0 record now on the road. I have no understanding of how Brandon Staley is still a co-favorite for this award outside of the Staley family being in charge of the prices.
Yeah, you're right about this because you're taking a look at Staley is 6-1, McCarthy 6-1, Kingsbury 6-1. It's almost like, you know, again, Mike McCarthy's an older coach, but new with Dallas. We like new shiny toys. So you say, okay, well, Sean McVay's got a really good Rams team and they're humming. Yeah, but he's not going to be coach of the year because he's too good. His team's too good. Or Sean McDermott, like, oh, he almost won it last year. So maybe he's not ready yet. He's got a really good football team. So just because he's a good coach, you can't give it to him. It's almost as if you just want some new shiny toy to try to bring this down. And the fact that I just still don't understand it as well, and you bring up the same thing. Brandon Staley, like, right away was installed as by far and away the coach of the year in the odds board here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. You sound like, okay, what does that equate to? Does he have to win 10 games? Does he have to get to the Super Bowl? But why would he be a favorite over teams where you say, like, I know Sean McVay and the Rams are going to be very good on offense, and that's a huge indicator. You know why Sean McVay should be the MVP? Just watch Jared Goff. Coach of the year, Sean McVay. They went to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff. And now you see Jared Goff in Detroit. Yeah, Sean McVay for me, coach of the year. Then the one.
Again, Sean McVay, a much better candidacy. Mike Vrabel, 30-1, a much better candidacy. Sean Payton's 14-1. He beat the defending Super Bowl champions with Trevor Siemian. What? Brandon Staley's getting ran out of the gym to rookie quarterbacks. How is Belichick 40-1 compared to this guy? It makes no sense. Zach Taylor has a Bengals team that was supposed to finish dead last in a division at 5-3. I get it. Jets outright. I get it. What are we talking about here? Matt LaFleur is 7-1 again. Matt LaFleur doesn't lose football games ever. And if it's all Rodgers, then why is Rodgers not the favorite for the MVP? It doesn't make sense. On the other side of the field, though, Donnie, the New England Patriots, 4-4, winners of 3 of their last 4, with the lone loss being an overtime to Dallas. Does this team have something here? I mean, is this team going to be able to actually make a postseason push?
I don't know if they'll be able to make a postseason push in this one. Because, I mean, you're just taking a look at everything that goes into the equation on this. Can you trust the quarterback? Are they going to stay healthy? Do they have enough weapons? What would you say, Kevin, in that aspect? Can they make a push, in your opinion?
I mean, the record is there. The thing is, I never thought they could win this game against the Chargers. This was a stunning result to me. I know the Chargers were only 4-point favorites. This is Mac Jones' first time traveling west, a team off of a bye with all the time in the world to prepare. Yep. When you look at the state of the AFC, though, Donnie, it's hard to say that they don't have a chance, especially because one of the teams that was supposed to be a lock to make the AFC playoffs looks very, very vulnerable. No, it's not the Kansas City Chiefs. It's the Cleveland Browns. We'll talk about their loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers and some other big results from Week 8 in the NFL after this quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Keep it rolling here on the early line, breaking down some of the big results from Week 8 in the NFL. And I think the Pittsburgh Steelers certainly put forward a big result, beating the Cleveland Browns. Donnie Wrightside strikes once again on the money line dog. Woo. In fact, folks, a little 2-0 action there on the pick 6 money line dog. It makes no sense, but I'm pretty sure combined it is our best category. An 11-5 record through 8 weeks here on money line dogs for the show. Donnie, I know you didn't want to do it, but you backed Big Ben, and it paid off. And the Steelers, now 4-3.
Yeah, and the SportsGrid TV account here on Twitter, of course, was posting multiple times this week about the Pittsburgh Steelers and me having to have them. I say, hey, man, trust the Steelers, man, trust them. Even though on Sunday, I will probably be throwing something at the TV saying, why, oh, why did I back the Pittsburgh Steelers again? This team can't move the football. Big Ben is cooked, but yet they always bring me back in. And you know what even makes it look worse, Kevin? As you're hovering on that 4-point line at the FanDuel Sportsbook last week, and then Sunday morning it goes to a 5.5. I didn't even get the best price. Like, what is going on here? And then during the game, Mike Tomlin runs a fake field goal, which gets his kicker blasted into the third row and out for the game with a concussion, so he can no longer kick field goals in a close game. And the Steelers still won 15-10. Now, beggars can't be choosing this. I love this, but I still look back to the week before with the Miami Dolphins. I should have had that one as well, but our stellar streak is continuing here with the money line dogs. The Pittsburgh Steelers, 15-10, played good defense, got plays when they needed, and even overcame their coach, which knocked their kicker out. By the way, Kevin, their kicker got blasted. If that is a quarterback rolling out of the pocket and doing that, is that not first and goal with a 15-yard personal foul at that point here? It almost looks like, it's the kicker. He could take a hit.
It's very odd how the ref's like, it's not a quarterback. Nothing to really worry about. Free runner, right? Say, like, quarterback scrambles, totally different rules. And when a running back's getting loose, it's all very, very odd in that sense there. I will say, as much as the decision that Mike Tomlin made, him being 100-1 to win Coach of the Year compared to Brandon Staley's 6-1 is preposterous. They're both 4-3. I'll leave the Brandon Staley thing there. Because here's really what's interesting to me, Donnie, is also the team on the other side of the field. We're now 4-4, losers of 3 of their last 4 games here. So I ask this to you, two teams perhaps moving in separate directions. If one of the following statements was to be true, which would it be? The Pittsburgh Steelers make the playoffs or the Cleveland Browns miss the playoffs?
I would probably say the easier thing to happen is the – oh, man. This is such a great question here, because if I'm trying to take a look at both sides of the equation, you're asking me, can the Pittsburgh Steelers make the playoffs? And it's almost a resounding no. They're 4-3, and I almost say a resounding no. So I guess it's more likely that the Cleveland Browns – Steelers miss the playoffs? Like, I don't even know where to go with this one because I can't believe the Steelers will make the playoffs. But then again, you're saying the Cleveland Browns have a legitimate chance to miss the playoffs now also because their quarterback situation isn't going to get any better. Injuries don't miraculously just come back together and say, hey, we had our injuries in the first three games or four games. Now we're going to be fine the rest of the season. It's a great question you bring up, but I think I can leave it at this. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't think any way, shape, or form can make the playoffs. I just don't, Kevin.
At the end of the day, it's a difficult question by design. It's tremendous to even envision a world, though, where for a lot of people, a Browns team that had Super Bowl equity entering this season could be pushed into this conversation. We'll see where these numbers reopen. There's a chance tomorrow that I'm making a case on this team to really miss the playoffs. Look at this schedule here. At Cincinnati and at Pittsburgh, double Baltimore still remain. They have to go to Green Bay. They play Vegas and at New England. The only game where this team will be better than four-point favorites on their board is home versus Detroit. That's it. It is the only game. This schedule, these injuries, the state of the quarterback play, the rest of this AFC, I don't know if this Cleveland Browns team is going to be able to hold on long enough here to stay within this AFC playoff race. I look forward to seeing those reposted markets. I will say, though, Donnie, if anything, they maybe got some help at the top of this division because the Cincinnati Bengals lost outright to the New York Jets, the biggest upset that we have had thus far in the NFL season as they went down 12-point favorites at the close, 34-31 for the People video. I felt like the Jets were frisky. I meant that they could cover. A part of me was hoping that Joe Flacco would actually start the game here. Countless, countless times, I was positive that this team was going to lose. Not only, like, because they won the game, I thought they were going to lose by a million. They were down 11 with 7 minutes left in this football game. They won outright, Donnie. An unbelievable result here in Jets-Bengals.
Isn't the NFL crazy? You go on the road the previous before, and you get 54 points torched on your defense. You were embarrassing and lost your quarterback. Season over for the Jets. Does Robert Saleh make it three more games, or did they make a massive mistake making him the head coach? Of course not. It takes a long time. The Jets aren't a good football team here. But the fact is they came home and beat a 5-2 Cincinnati team, that they were double-digit dogs and starting Mike White at quarterback, which you're right. They went out. They were almost thinking about starting Joe Flacco like 2 days later, not knowing the actual playbook because you didn't want to give Mike White a chance. And you see the back pages of the New York papers here. White Lightning, which is a sensational nickname here for Mike White. He threw 45 times, Kevin, for 405 yards and three touchdowns. They did throw the one interception, but the one, he threw it off a guy's helmet who wasn't paying attention. Yeah. A 107 passer rating here. That is absolutely outrageous because what did we anticipate you're getting from a young backup quarterback who's going to make his first start in the NFL? Game manager, hand the football off. Not so much. They threw almost 50 times to this kid, and it included a massive comeback as well because you thought the Cincinnati Bengals opened this game, sleepwalking a little bit, took control, go up double digits. Mm-hmm. This is where the Jets get wasted, 31-7 in this game. Not so fast here. An unbelievable performance by the Jets, but also, boy, that is a tough loss here for the Cincinnati Bengals. You're pegging them to get to the playoffs. These are the easy ones, we like to say, Kevin. Yeah. But then again, we laugh at the Jets. Their two wins, the Titans and the Bengals. Pretty impressive.
It's ridiculous. Like, it's not like, they had the Jags and the Dolphins and they figured it out. Like, they've beaten the Titans and the Bengals. I don't know how that's possible here. And again, like, as I thought the Jets could cover a number, because you talk in the NFL, because it's the NFL. It's about spots. The Bengals coming off their best win in probably half a decade. Jets off of their worst loss in maybe half a decade, 54 against the New England Patriots off of a bye. But multiple times they looked to hand this game over. They had two picks, as you said, Donnie, that were basically tipped into the air, and Jamison Crowder fumbled after about a 20-plus yard gain. The Jets punted once against a Bengals defense that was one of the top five units in the NFL entering the game. It was an unbelievable result there overall. It's so weird when stuff like this happens, though. This result feels less concerning than, say, what the Chargers put forward. It was a letdown spot. Letdowns happens, right? We almost can forgive those. It's when two teams on equal footing are supposed to somewhat step up to the plate and teams don't put together the effort that they should. And I got to say, Donnie, for the Buffalo Bills result as we move forward here, this Buffalo team basically stepped up with the same level of no-show as the Cincinnati Bengals and won by 15 points. The Dolphins are a nightmare's nightmare. And I know the Bills' late touchdown there covered and also helped you out on another prop on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Oh, sensational, because you're taking a look at yesterday. The Cincinnati Bengals to get three touchdowns, check. The Indianapolis Colts to get three touchdowns, check. The Buffalo Bills to get three touchdowns. Yeah, by the way, there's a minute left to go in the third quarter. They don't even have a touchdown on the board yet. You've got to be kidding me. And the way it ended up here, one for the good guys, as I like to say, on a third and six in a football game that you basically just needed, for all intents and purposes, a field goal to win it and put it out of reach. Josh Allen, the MVP of the National Football League, rolls out and shows you exactly, Kevin, why he's the people's choice for MVP. He knows. He knows what the line is, right, Kevin, doesn't he? 26-11 final. I think that line included about 14 and a half. Josh Allen for the people out here, 249 in the air, two touchdowns passing, eight carries, 55 yards and a touchdown. And you're so right about this. For three quarters, the Buffalo Bills, what are you doing? Doesn't look like the Bills are going to challenge in the AFC because you can't beat the 1-6 Dolphins at home. And if you blinked, you missed it. 26 points on the board for the Buffalo Bills, which, as you look back, like, it's a terrible offensive performance. You know how many teams in the NFL that would kill to get 26 points on the board against a divisional opponent? The Buffalo Bills end up winning easy in this one, but it's the sign of a good football team. When you don't have your best stuff for three quarters, you could still turn it on when it matters most. I like that win by the Buffalo Bills and liked it even more, Kevin, that they got the three touchdowns.
Yes, look, it's great they got the three touchdowns. Credit to them for covering. As an Eagles fan, love what the Dolphins are bringing to the table here. Listen, Donnie can keep pandering to the people of Buffalo. Someone's got to call this down the middle. How is Josh Allen 2-1 to win the MVP? This makes no sense. He's not been this much better than everybody else. And he's not top five in QBR. He's not top five in passer rating. Not top five in total touchdowns. Not top five in passing yards. None of this makes sense. He doesn't have the best record in the NFL. None of this makes sense. And his number just keeps dropping. He's not having a better year than Brady or Dak or Kyler or Rodgers or Stafford. And he's a third of all of these guys' numbers at minimum. I don't understand. Again, I will do what I can to correct Brandon Staley in the Coach of the Year market. I don't know if I have enough power to correct Josh Allen in the MVP market, as Mr. Rightside and the people of Buffalo here are just going to keep spraying this guy on the board and moving the odds in his favor.
Absolutely, Kevin. Now, you say he might not be top five in this category, might not be top five in that quarter, but Kevin, you know what? He's top five and number one in most of our hearts out here. It's a shame you don't have enough room in that heart there to include Josh Allen and what he's doing, uplifting the city of Buffalo. And every time we try to talk, say, you know what? The Buffalo Bills can make the playoffs. They can win the Super Bowl, and Josh Allen's the MVP. You always like to put coal in the stocking there of the Buffalo Bills fans. Come Christmas, we're going to celebrate. There's an option right now here. I'm looking at it. Josh Allen, 12-1 to win the MVP in football. There's a juicy cash out option. But I would never do that to the people of Buffalo and give up my faith halfway through the football season. We are riding this out. And as they used to say in the 70s, Buffalo's going to the Super Bowl. They're going, Kevin. Open up your heart.
Listen, at the end of the day, Donnie, don't worry about the cash out. That button's always there at all times. You can hit it whenever you want, and the options will be just fine. Can we talk a little Chicago Bears football? Can we talk a little San Francisco 49ers? I got to tell you something, man. I can't believe this guy, Justin Fields, threw for $175, and it's by far and away the best he's looked all season long. It's not even close. And I got to tell you, I love the Niners in this game. I thought the idea that a team losing their head coach being a positive was nonsense. Now, the Niners covered. Don't get me wrong here. Matt Nagy doesn't coach defense. He doesn't coach offense either. But let's be real. I mean, this was the best the Bears offense. Look, they lost by 11. We'll give the Niners their due in a minute here. Donnie, Justin Fields ran for 103 yards and a score. This is the best they've looked all year long on the offensive side of the football.
I mean, if you were to tell me Justin Fields is going to throw for $175 and a touchdown on Sunday, I would have built him a statue outside of in Chicago. You know, said, "Hey, look, Soldier Field. You know, retire the number at halftime, Kevin. At halftime of this game in his rookie year, we would have retired his number." It wasn't enough, though. Yeah, Justin Fields, 10 carries for 103 yards and a touchdown as a quarterback. You should have blown the San Francisco 49ers out of the water, and yet you lost by double digits at home. That's the Bears. I wish we had more time.
Maybe we'll go back to the Bears. I got to say on the Niners, no punts on the road. A decent Bears defense. Shanahan back. Maybe. We'll take a quick break. The early line continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back with the Bears. What are we going to move forward here? It's a great football game. Results-wise, there was a lot of stuff to sink our teeth into. We can circle back on Chicago, but Donnie made a great point during the break here. Jimmy Garoppolo, 11.5 yards per pass, 322 in the air, and two rushing touchdowns on designed runs. Trey Lance is probably still going to need to wait his turn here, Donnie, to take over this starting job.
No, he still is too. And let me ask you a question here, because I know it's only a quick segment. You take a look at the San Francisco 49ers right now, 3-4 on the season. Maybe a little bit more of a long shot to make the playoffs, even though they're talented because of how tough their division is. The trade deadline comes up this weekend. The New Orleans Saints are sitting down there needing a quarterback, thinking they can have a season and make the playoffs. The San Francisco 49ers' future plans do not include Jimmy Garoppolo. Do they make a move with Jimmy Garoppolo? Because you're right. 17-28, 322, won this football game on the road. He's still going to be their starting quarterback for at least a few more weeks, but he's not going to be next year. Did they move him at the deadline, do you think?
It's in my notes. I like the list of quarterbacks that I wrote down. Jimmy G, question mark for the Saints. Here's the only problem, Donnie. Are the Niners going for a playoff spot here? Look, you're 3-4. That seventh spot in the NFC is anybody's. Look, folks. We'll get to it now. I'm backing on the Eagles. Playoffs, all that. Like, that seventh spot is all the way open here in the NFL. That's the only problem, Donnie. And at the end of the day, too, should someone call Andy Dalton? I mean, look, they're just going to stick with Fields, right? I'm sure you would call for Dalton. That's your guy.
That's absolutely. I was calling for him on, even though the Chicago Bears did hit their team total, credit to Justin Fields there. Yeah. But if Andy Dalton would have played, I would have been involved, and the Chicago Bears would have won that football game if Andy Dalton was in that game on Sunday. Don't you agree?
No. Listen, the Niners didn't punt the whole game. So we have to decide whether or not the Bears defense stinks, which based on the last 2 weeks, maybe it actually
it's bad
at this point here. I think that's probably the case. But boy, oh boy, the Niners are, what an interesting team. 3-1 on the road this year. Why can't teams win at home? Very interesting. We're talking World Series, though, after this break. Hour number two is on deck.
Sports info
is everywhere.
We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single day.
This
is the Sports Grid Radio Network.